Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, you look a little tired today. What did you do last night?
Well, Patrick, I woke up in a Leesburg doorway, and this policeman knew my name. He said I could go sleep at home last night if I could get up and walk away.
Who are you?
That's perfect. Okay, Patrick, we are getting back to fan mail. We're getting caught up. The stuff we're going to address today is actually from like episodes of like February and even March. So we're really getting close. This is not the normal. Yeah, this is not the normal 6 to 8 month lag that we usually have. We're getting close here. This is Rock of the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And before we get to fan mail today, let me just give a shout out. If you guys haven't seen, we have a few things up on a YouTube channel. There's a Rock in the Suburbs YouTube channel. We don't put a bunch of stuff up there. I don't know. It's just, you know, what else can we do, people? We do so much already. But anyway, every once in a while, we make some kind of video and we put it up on the YouTube. And now is the time to go check that out because we have a new music video that we did with many listeners who covered the song All Your Favorite Bands. And we... Now, when I say we, I mean intern Sam, put it together in a music video. And it's really nice. It's really lovely. So go check that out on our YouTube.
Yeah, it's quite quite moving. And it's a fun listen. Even if you don't know all the folks, it's fun to see. And I think you'll be surprised at the geographic spread of all your favorite bands, our version. It's pretty amazing.
It's really, really yeah, it's a great team effort, I think, and we appreciate everybody who helped out with that. And many of the people that you see in the video, they actually played that music. This is it's a cover. Yeah. It's not, you know, we didn't just, you know, rip the audio from another source. That's a all original recording of a song by Dawes, and then and then several of the people in the video are lip syncing to that cover recording that we did. So it's fun. It's fun. You'll check it out. All right. Thanks to everyone. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yep.
And all right. Now, let's get to the listener correspondence. So the first topic today is Pete Townsend. So we had the the episode with Mike Wagner, and we talked about a couple of Pete Townsend solo albums, and we also talked about a couple of late period Who albums. They were all recorded in this very short time frame for Pete. It's really kind of amazing when you think about it. And we got some correspondence here. So let's start here with listener Sean Smith, who says he loved the Townsend podcast, but then he says, please revisit White City. What a great album. One song in particular, I Am Secure. He said, adding David Gilmour was an added bonus. I thought the movie was pretty poor, apart from the rocking version of Secondhand Love. In short, the 80s Pete Townsend was just the best. His solo albums hold up better than Face Dances and It's Hard. Again, thank you. So, you know, we were talking in that episode about four albums in particular. And so any mention of White City, which I actually can't remember what we said exactly, but they were sort of offhanded remarks that we made about other things. So we weren't really, I don't think, commenting on that in full, you know, in earnest, right? But I think we were just sort of trying to contrast, as I recall... trying to contrast the fact that he went back into sort of like rock opera mode after after the Cowboys album. So and that's wasn't necessarily where we thought Pete should be going. I think is kind of what we were saying, right? Just do the albums, you know, just put together, you know, 12 great songs and do the albums, right? But White City was like a concept and sort of a rock opera thing, and it was a film that went with it, and I don't think I've ever seen the film. Have you?
No, I don't think so either. I think it was sort of, you know, kind of confusing and impenetrable at the time, and I don't think I ever followed up by watching the movie,
So, but we appreciate that, Sean, and so people check out.
Yeah, very good.
Check out the album and see what you think. There are some good songs on there for sure.
Yeah, I definitely need to go back myself and listen to it because it's been a long time since I listened to it. And probably deserves a fresh listen. I would hope with more mature ears, but right. You never know. Yeah.
Now, along those same lines here, we got a call from a listener about White City.
Great.
Hey there, Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. This is Jeff from Derry, New Hampshire, and a giant Pete Townsend fan. I was so happy to hear your show about both All the Best Chinese Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes, which is my favorite of his records, and Empty Glass, as well as the two, I think, vastly underrated Who records with Kenny Jones on drums, Face Dances and It's Hard. I was surprised that there was some sort of smack talk over White City, which has a lot of the characteristics of that sort of wave of emotion that come in the best parts of All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes. And I would urge you to go back and listen to things like Crashing by Design or Give Blood, and look at how he was trying to sort of build a sort of longer form story using the video medium tied to the album. Fantastic record. Seriously, well worth a go back and listen, I think. But hey, love the show and would love to talk with you more. Peace out.
All right, so there you go. Another endorsement for White City. So go check that out, peoples.
Yeah, I think the deal is definitely sealed now. And great to hear from Jeff. And we will. I'm going to do it. So we'll have to.
Yep.
We'll have to report back at some point if we can, and see how that turns out.
I had that album on cassette back in the day, back in my college days.
Oh, cool.
Listened to it quite a bit back then, but I have not listened to it in quite a long time. So
same. Yeah. I may have it on my shelf. I'm not sure, but I'm definitely going to have to find out.
Okay. Now, we got another interesting tweet here from Jim Osborne, at Running Oz, by the way. He says, great podcast. First time listening. Well, don't let that be the last, Jim.
Sweet.
He says, that era of Townsend and Who is very similar for me as it was for you. It wasn't mentioned, but what always struck me about Slit Skirts was the different version from the album and the video on MTV. Harmonica at the end and different phrasing. And I vaguely remember this now that he brings it up, that they actually used a different track in the video. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
My guess is it was maybe meant to match the visuals a little bit better.
Oh, maybe.
I remember it being a performance video kind of thing.
That is very, very interesting.
So maybe that was the idea. I don't know. Or maybe Pete was just he likes to think sort of in visual terms. Maybe just thought that worked better. Like he was trying to make it its own sort of like piece as opposed to just.
Right. Giving it that cinematic sweep. Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And certainly, you know, one to never worry about a boundary, you know, just because that wasn't common didn't mean he wasn't going to try it if he thought it was the right thing to do. So that's interesting, too.
I was just 34 years old, and I was still wondering in a haze. I was wondering why everyone I met seemed like they were lost in me. Sympathy, not tears people need when they're the front page sad news. The incense burned away and the stench began to rise. The lovers now estranged, avoided catching each other's eyes.
Okay, now let's move on to the episode, another patron episode we did with Eric Lorenz on 1981 sophomore albums. Very yes. specific topic. I it love was. That.
Yep, yep.
So second albums that came out in 1981. And there were four different ones we talked about. And yep. That included, let's see, was U2, Pretenders, Teardrop Explodes, and Echo and the Bunnymen.
Right. That's right. Talked about. Following up on the 1980 episode we talked about. Yep.
All right. We got a call. More accurately, a series of calls from Craig Rosen on that topic.
Great.
Hey, Jim and Patrick and Eric, just finished listening to that 1981 sophomore albums episode. I'm huffing and puffing a little bit because I'm riding my bike. Craig Rosen here in the valley, riding throughout the valley. And I was just so excited by that because, you know, sure, the Pretenders and U2, I had those records. They're all right. But the Bunnymen in Teardrop Explodes are some of my favorites. In fact, strange coincidence, as I was riding by from my home in Porter Ranch, south towards Reseda, I went by what used to be known as the Country Club, the Great Lake San Fernando Valley Rock Club, where I've seen. First time I saw REM was their opening for the English Beat. Saw all the great 80s bands there. You name them, I probably saw them there. Anyway, as Eric was talking about Wilder, I was riding right by the Country Club, which is now a Mexican church. A lot of good memories there. And they were such a great band. I'd say that Wilder is even better than Kilimanjaro. And the Bunnymen. Jim, I hear what you're saying about the greatest hits record. But those first four Bunnymen albums are essential. Songs to Learn and Sing, or Sing and Learn, whatever it was called, isn't enough. Sure, that's great, but you need to hear these. Album and experience the Bunnymen in all their glory. Just great bands, and they, of course, were in a band together called the Crucial Three. They both bands recorded Redded in Books, and I believe it's on both of their first albums. And another great thing, aside from those essential first four Bunnymen records, there was a Peel session. I've got it on cassette, but I think I've also had it digital because it came out on digitally. It came out on CD later, but there was an early Peel session when they were still using the drum machine, and they did some of those first songs, songs from the first album. And on one of the songs, Ian breaks into the Impressions crew. Mayfield, People Get Ready, over the sound of that drum machine is incredible. Anyway, I could go on and on and on. I already have. But good episode. I love those two records. I love those two bands. Check them out. Everything they released is worth having. So the Bunnymen went a little mersh, got a little disappointed with that self-titled record. I just heard the Psychedelic Furs play out, Pretty in Pink, and it's so funny because Facebook friends posted an alternate ending of the movie today, a photo of the script, and I made a comment, I hope the alternate version features the original Pretty in Pink because the first re-recorded it and it wasn't quite as good as the original. And I have to say that the Furs were another great band from that period. Also one of my favorite bands. And Talk, Talk, Talk is one of my favorite albums. Definitely check that out. And also today, it's March 1st, in case this airs 6 months from now, got an email today with a link to the video for Wrong Train, a track from the Furs' last album. Came out last year. It was called Bucket Fillings in the Brain. But anyway, the song "Long Train" is so incredible. It's like classic Birds. Check it out. Check out Talk 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 and the last Birds album. Their comeback from last year, "Bucket Full of Rain," I believe it's called. I would check that. I'm on my bike. Anyway, later.
All right. Always great to hear from Craig Rosen. And I will say, I know it may not be the greatest sound quality when people do this, but I love when people are so excited about something, they can't wait. They have to call in right away.
That's fabulous.
Maybe on a bike ride.
Yeah. I'm glad everything worked out safely for Craig. And, you know, number one, hey, maybe it's a new series, Craig on his bike. But number two, I think he made a great point there where he mentioned, like Bad Replacements and Bad REM, obviously bad contextually, right? Bad relatively.
Right. Like bad pizza, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're still, you're still going to enjoy it, right?
That's right. Still going to eat it. Still going to enjoy it. And to me, I mean, you know, we've gotten to know Craig a little bit here over the years of podcasting, and he's, you know, such a knowledgeable guy, and that's really, really high praise for Teardrop Explodes, folks, and the Bunnymen. So take that to heart. And if you have never gone into those original albums, you should really do so and check them out. Yep.
A lot of great stuff there. And
yep.
I remember we talked a little bit about the Psychedelic Furs on that episode as well. And I think you and I have talked, I don't know, on any episodes or just between us, but I'm just kind of amazed they don't get held up in quite that same regard as a lot of other 80s bands. I don't quite get it, because if you go back and listen to their stuff, it's really strong. They put out some
very strong,
strong records.
And just crystallizes a lot of really interesting influences, especially like some of the Beatles psychedelic stuff. You know, it's so widely loved, and they take it to a new place and don't just sort of ape it, but really ingest it and turn it back out into something in a personal vision. So that's a great point.
I don't know. The good fortune of seeing Psychedelic Furs just a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago or so. And the main reason I went to that show was because Tommy Stinson's Basham Pop was opening.
Yep.
And I wanted to do this. This was the show where I met up with Senator Tim Kaine.
Yeah, that's right.
He was there. That was where I met him, right? And developed this close friendship that does not remain this day. But but no, he was nice enough. He came on our show and everything. That was that experience, because he's friends with Tommy Stinson. So anyway, went there mainly to see Bash and Pop, but of course not only, because it's like, I like the headliner, the Psychedelic Furs, but I'd never seen them before. And so and they were great. They were great. And this was just like 3 years ago or so. I mean, really like awesome sound and great, like, great, like, stage presence. You know what I mean? Like, they could really hold the audience's attention. You know, it was something. So,
Richard Butler, great performer. Yeah, with that spinning around move that he does, yeah. and you're right. Just his whole look is very captivating. So yeah, like a band born to be playing live and be on stage, without a doubt.
And one time, on our Friday Night Hootenanny thing that we do, that people can join and just hear us, you know, playing songs and something. I believe it was Brad, our friend Brad Mailer, who played. That song "Am I Wrong," which was done by that side project called Love Spit Love, terrible name,
Love,
but
Love, that's right.
But that song "Am I Wrong"? That's an amazing song.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt,
with Richard Butler, cool song. Great. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's go. I think we have just one more. This was a Facebook post from Mark Neese, a comment on the 1981 stuff. Here's what Mark had to say. He kind of ran through all four of them for us and gave us his feelings. He said, U2's October is an excellent album, and the title track is one of their most beautiful songs with its long solo piano introduction. So that's nice. Yep. Pretenders 2, outstanding. What else is there to say about that?
Yeah.
So there we go. Just move on. Teardrop Explodes is a big gap in my music knowledge, though Julian Cope seems like a great guy. So there you go on that. But here's where it heats up. Here it goes. And then Heaven Up Here, a dark, complex, labyrinthine puzzle of an album. Okay, now I sound like a pretentious twit. Echo and the Bunnymen enter some dark places with that and 1983's Porcupine before lightening up a bit on Ocean Rain and later the Grey album. As an Echo and the Bunnymen super fan, I encourage the curious to investigate their albums from 1997 to the present. You can skip Reverberation, but check out How does that pronounce, Patrick? Electrofixion? I don't know.
I'm not sure either. Electro...
I don't know. There's a
electrofixation, electrofixion. I don't know.
Okay, but check that out. It's when Ian McCulloch and Sargent were making a tentative reunion.
Yep.
I enjoy everything they've done through their most recent album of original material, which was 2014's Meteorites, a lovely record that seemed to almost go unnoticed. So there you go. We have an Echo and the Bunnymen superfan in Mark Neese.
That's really cool. And I didn't even know they put an album out in 2014 called Meteorite. So there you go. Absolutely. So two people here whose musical opinions we know and trust are really going hard on these bands, folks. So if you do have that musical gap, this is an opportunity to fill it. And you can certainly dip your toe in on the streamings and go from there.
Yep. There you go. So, all right, check out all this stuff. Great recommendations from people. We so appreciate it. All right.
Totally.
Let's see.
If you're on your bike or in your car or in your truck or wherever you are and you have a thought, just reach out and tell us when you're listening. Yeah, hit pause and call us up. So,
and of course, Patrick, if you're riding your bike at night,
always wear white. Right. Yes. Be very careful.
Okay. How's your speaking of bike riding, you had a spill and an injury and you've fully recovered now, right?
I have. I'm all back to normal. My thumb is working again. Thank you for asking. And I got to say, if people remember what happened, the bicycle itself actually malfunctioned. One of the pieces snapped, and the bicycle manufacturing company, I won't mention their name, but they were nice enough to compensate us for that bike. And luckily, it wasn't worse. You know, I didn't get hurt too badly. I was banged up, broke my thumb, but
you did have to go. You did have to go get some kind of alternative surgery down in Mexico or something, didn't you?
Right. Alternative medicine was employed. That's right. Yeah. Peyote and a witch doctor were involved, but my thumb is back. But it all worked out well. So thanks. And like Craig, be safe out there when you're riding those bikes.
Okay. All right. Let's get out of here. I don't know what we have on tap for tomorrow, but I'm sure it'll be good. All right.
Yep.
Might be a patron episode.
Cool.
I think good chance it'll be a patron episode, unless the patron reschedules again. So we'll see. All right. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. I see you on the Zoom. One last thing here. We're going off topic here. I see you on the Zoom camera, and I see you wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers shirt. Is that a championship shirt?
No, this is the old school.
Bucko
Bruce that I found at the thrift shop. I think it's probably. Yeah, I think it was probably made for a kid who's about 13. I have to pull it down a little bit, but I picked it up. Picked it up over at the thrift shop.
Now, in regards to sports shirts, this is a different sport, but I'm wearing my Washington Wizards long sleeve tee. You can see
totally sweet.
And the odds of me ever getting a Washington Wizards championship shirt very, very slim, I would say.
Better to go back and get the 19, was it 78?
78 bullets.
World champions. There you go. Beat the Sonics.
At least we got that.
That's right.